Today's daf is Tchulin daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. We are holding on daf Kuf Lamed Beis on Beis. We're a little bit behind, so we're all the way back about 8 lines before the lines get wide on daf Kuf Lamed Beis on Beis. The Gemara is about to start a series of 4 statements made by Rav Chista with 1 statement of Rabbi Bar Brachan Amar Rabbi Yochanan mixed in, but 4 statements made by Rav Chista. So statement number 1 of Rav Chista. Amar Rav Chista, Hay Kahana de lo mafresh matanta lahavi b'shamto de lo kei Yisrael. If a Kohen is not mafresh the matanos, the Zerua l'chayayim v'keva, from the animal, so he's in a shamta, it's sort of chayrim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Amar Rabbi Bar Fshila, Hani Tavchi du Hutzal, Kaimi b'shamta de Rav Chista, Esam v'tarti shnin, says you should know, these butchers of Hutzal have been in this shamta for 22 years, because they're not mafresh the matanos, the way they're supposed to be mafresh the matanos, according to Rav Chista. L'may Hilch, so why do you have to tell me 22 years? Why? In what way is that at all an important fact in the story? So ile medesula mashamtin lahu. If you want to tell me because more than 22 years you don't keep a shamta going, so it's telling me that we hit the max of 22 years for a shamta. That when do we say you can't put someone in a shamta for more than 22 years? That's when it comes to violating a mitzvah lo saseh. Aval b'mitzvah saseh, ki gonom lo asei sukkah ve'enu oseh, lula ve'enu oseh, asei tzitzis ve'enu oseh, magnos achetesi nafsho. But when it comes to a person who fails to do a mitzvah saseh, who refuses to do a mitzvah saseh, you tell him make a sukkah and he doesn't build the sukkah, you tell him make tzitzis, and he doesn't make tzitzis. So then, makanos achetetzi nafsho. Then you're allowed to keep hitting him until he dies, to the point of death, to force him to do a mitzvah. So what's the point of 22 years? El dekansinun luhu below asriyasa. We can make a knas, we can impose a penalty on him without giving any warning. Ki had the Rava kanis atoma, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak kanis glima. Rava would confiscate a bone from the fellow who didn't give the matanos. Rashi says, "Kol hayerecha yagozel mimishloy shaloha yarotze losis matanos lekohen vayinosun lekohen." Someone didn't want to give matanos to a kohen. He would take away the entire thigh of the animal and give it to a kohen, which is a lot more than he would have had to have given if he just would have given matanos. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak would take away glima, would take away the person's expensive clothing and give it to a kohen, which again would have been, is a more significant loss than if the person just would have given it to the kohen in the first place. Now the idea over here we said was that Rav Chista made this suggested that there is this cherim on a kohen that's not mafresh matanta, that doesn't give the matanos. So Rashi says we're talking about a kohen that doesn't give the matanos kuna to another kohen, and that's in fact what the Rambam says as well. So pasha pshar in the Gemara, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah Perek Vav Alach Yudal that hay tabach kohen sheino mafresh matanos v'nosel kohen acher menadino salat sheyitein. You put him in a nidoy until he decides to actually give the matanos. I didn't look up that Rambam. That's in the Biuri Adaf. It quotes from Hilchos Talmud Torah. I'm not sure why it would be in Hilchos Talmud Torah, but that's where he quotes it from. And the Bach writes that the chiddush is by a shochet who's a kohen that even though midin Torah is pater from matanos, still since he's in violation of the takonos chachamim, right? We just discussed that a kohen doesn't have to give the matanos midoraisa, but it's the takonos chachamim that he should have to give. Being in violation of a takonos chachamim is enough to be put in such a shamta. The Derech Emuna explains that Rav Chista means to say that even a kohen that sells basar that's not mafresh the matanos, his din is this nidui. Kol shekein Yisrael sheinu mafreshan. I mean, the point is, if this is true, even of a kohen, kal v'chomer, this is going to be true of a Yisrael. Now, the chilik between mitzvahs lo sasei and mitzvahs sasei, the Gemara talks about how mitzvahs sasei, like you tell the guy to make a sukkah. So Rashi says, what's unique about sukkah and lulav and tzitzis? Ein b'chesron kis. Sukkah, lulav, and tzitzis doesn't cost anything anyway. That's why the Gemara at the beginning of Avodah Zarah, when Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to test the goyim, he says, mitzvah kala, I have a little mitzvah, an easy mitzvah to give to you. Let's see if you could pass the test. When the goyim complained that, hey, how come we never got the mitzvahs? We never had an opportunity to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu in this way and to be zocha, to be the chosen nation. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, let me try an easy mitzvah. That's the Gemara that says that. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu was motzi cham min artika, and the goyim got all upset and they kicked the sukkah down, loss of love of this whole mice is going to happen. But mitzvah kala, Rashi over there translates as a mitzvah shein b'chesron kis. And it doesn't cost anything. A sukkah is cheap. You just put some wood together and you have a sukkah. They didn't know yet from all the fiberglass and this and that, you know, how expensive a sukkah could be. That was considered the cheap mitzvah. So one of the achronim, the Lev Arye, explains that dafka mitzvahs like these, where there's no chesron kiss and anyone could do it, that's where Beis Din can be kofa for a person to be mekayim it. But when it comes to other mitzvahs where it costs a lot of money, Beis Din is not kofa unless Beis Din first does some research and realizes that the person is able to fulfill the mitzvah and isn't doing it, right? Because we know from mitzvah sasei hamavazves al yavazves yosem yichomesh, that you're not supposed to spend more than 20% of your money on a mitzvah. So if a person taka can't afford it, we would never be kofa a person to do the mitzvah. The Ran explains over here that a mitzvah, the chiluk that we're making between a mitzvah sasei and a mitzvah lo sasei is really lav dafka. We don't mean what gets counted in the minyan of mitzvahs as an asei versus what gets counted in the minyan mitzvahs lo sasei. The real chiluk is that mitzvahs lo sasei is a reference to an avera that's already done, that's in the past. A person has already committed the avera. Whereas mitzvah sasei refers to something that's ongoing and we can still rectify the situation, we can still fix it. So when it comes to a lo sasei, bezin makanoso, and they tell him that he, you know, as a form of punishment. When it comes to mitzvah sasei, something that we're trying to get him to do, so that it doesn't matter whether it's technically an asei or a lo sasei, it's just something that we're trying to get him to do. Whether we're trying to get him to do a mitzvah or we're trying to get him not to do an aveira. That's how the Ran explains that it's lav dafka asei and a lo sasei. Now the Gilyon Yashas, Rav Yosef Engel, questions over here. When are we hitting him? When are we telling him that he's got to build the sukkah? I say sukkah ve'no osa. Is it on sukkahs? Is it before sukkahs? So he's not sure. Is it dafka on sukkahs, but before sukkahs? The guy can say, what do you mean? It's not sukkahs yet. What do I need a sukkah for? Even though it's the day before and he still hasn't built it, do we wait for sukkahs to happen? We're not sure. If what's called being misrashel milakayim the mitzvah, what's called being lazy about being mekayim the mitzvah? Now, there are some girsaos over here when it comes to tzitzis that are not goris tzitzis v'eino osa, where we tell him to make tzitzis and he doesn't do it. And the Bir Yadav over here quotes the Shailos HaTshuvas Lev David, who says that it could be that if tzitzis is a, that the two girsos argue whether tzitzis is a chavas gavra or chavas mana. The chiv of tzitzis, is it that any beggar that has dal kanfos requires tzitzis, or is it a chiv on a person who's wearing a beggar of dal kanfos that he has to put on tzitzis? Because if it's a chavas gavra, we wouldn't keep pinning him at Shetetzi Nafsho, we just tell him take off the tzitzis and he'll be good. But if it's chavas mana, taking off the tzitzis won't be enough. So then we'd be kofen so we at shetetzi nafsho. Then we would have to hit him until he actually does it. There's also a discussion in the Rishonim if mitzvos d'rabbanan, we would also apply this concept of makanos at shetetzi nafsho. Is that only for mitzvos d'araisa? The Rambam writes misha achol matzah be'erev Pesach makanos o makas mardus at shetetzi nafsho. The Rambam writes that if a person eats matzah on erev Pesach and hilchos chametz matzah beregvav halach yid beis, person eats matzah on Erev Pesach, makanoso ad shetetzei nafsho. So some of the Achronim ask, wait a second, you're eating matzah on Erev Pesach, granted the Yerushalmi says it's kibol arusasa bebeis chanav, it's jumping the gun, it's going a little too early, it's like a person sleeping with a woman that he only has erusin with while she's still living in her father's house, but nevertheless it's only nisit rabbanon, mehechi tasted that by nisit rabbanon, we would makanoso ad shetetzei nafsho, even for a lo sasei midaraisa, we know we're not makanoso ad shetetzei nafsho. The Ramban, however, writes clearly that even on Mitzvot Rabbanan, we are makach shetetzi nafsho, and his raya is he brings rayas from the Gemaras that's true, that even from Mitzvot Rabbanan we would be makanasa ad shetetzi nafsho. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter now. Second statement of Rav Chista, second wide line on Kuflam Beis and Beis. Va'am Rav Chista, Zroa la'echad, v'keva la'echad, l'chayayim l'shnayim. When you're giving out the Zroa l'chayayim and keva, the Zroa goes to one Kohen, the keva goes to one Kohen, you give the l'chayayim to two different Kohanim. So Frank Mar Aini Valkyasar Yitzhak Bar Yosef Amr Bimarava Palginulhu Garma Garma, but I thought he said you split it up bone by bone. So it says Mar Hasan Bitatura, that's when it's a large ox, we're giving bone by bone is still giving a significant portion to each Kohen. So what emerges from here is that just like when it comes to Truma, there's a din of being mafresh the Truma, but then there's another, and that Chitachas Pateres Kalakri. But there's another din of giving to a Kohen a Davar Chashuv. So when it comes to the Matnas Kuna, yes, you have to take away the Matnas Kuna from your animal, but that's not, and give it to a Kohanim, but that's not enough. You have to give the Kohen, each Kohen has to receive a Davar Chashuv. That there's such a din in the actual Nesina to the Kohen of giving a Davar Chashuv. So here's the one statement that's not by Rav Chista mixed in the middle. Person is not permitted to eat from an animal that the matanos weren't taken from. That if a person eats from an animal that the matanos kuna were not given from, it's as if you're eating tevel. Just like when you eating tevel is eating from produce that the matanos were not given from. Eating from an animal that the matanos were not given from is also like tevel. But we don't pass in that way. Says the Gemara now, statement number 3 of Rav Chista. Amr Rav Chista, Matnos Kuna ein echalos el tzli, vein echalos el bechardel. The Matnos Kuna can only be eaten roasted, and they can only be eaten with mustard. Very strange idea. Why? Why should this be so? My taima, Amr Kra, lemashcha, legedula, kederek shamlachim ochlin. There's a din that the Matnos Kuna need to be eaten in a dignified manner, in a way that kings would eat. That's why tzli is the most dignified way to eat, and with mustard is the most dignified and tasty way to eat it, and that's the way it has to be done. If you look at Tosfos, Fractosos Vim Tomar, Perikolatadir and Zvachim Dafsadi, Amrin Bukulan Rashana Kohanim, Lishanos Bachila, Lochlan, Tsluyin, Shlukin, Muvushalin. The Gemara says, eat it however you want. Eat it however the Kohen prefers it. He likes roasted, do a barbecue. He likes cooked, have it cooked. Vamar Bigamar, Taimishum Duksibulu Mashcha, Pirish Lukadula, Kedarak Shamalachmochlin. And the Gemara says, Dafka, because it says, Kedarak Shamalachmochlin, how do kings eat it? However they want it. That's how they eat it. So the Kohen also should eat however they want. Where do we get the idea that a dafka has to be tzli? So it says, tell us, He says, yeah, obviously you do whatever works for the guy. You do whatever he likes best. But if there's he doesn't have any particular preference, tzli is the default position of the most chashva way to eat something. So that's why we go with tzli as opposed to anything else. But it's not really, but really the din is that he could eat it however he wants. It's not dafka, tzli, and chardel. The Meiri, however, writes that it is dafka tzli, that when the Gemara says tzli, it means tzli. I'm not sure how he addresses that the issue of how to deal with the other Gemara that says Lamashcha L'gedula relates to however the Kohen wants to have it. The difficulty over here is there's a Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchus Bikurim Perek Tes Halacha Beis. The Rambam writes Imratza Kohen Limchor Hamatanos Olitnan B'matana Afilu L'goy Olahachilam L'klavim Ma'achil Shein Bem Kedusha Klal. That if the Kohen wants to give the Matnos Kuhuna to a guy, to dogs even, to eat, it's fine. There's no Kedusha to the Matnos Kuhuna, and there's a Tosefta that says this way, that there's only a mitzvah Nesina L'Bilvad to a Kohen, and that's it. There's nothing more than that. And Paskin Shulchan Aruch Yerdeyasim and Samach Aleph Sif Yud Gimel. But the question is, Yamsha Shalman raises the question, what do you mean? What about Lamashcha Ben? You have to eat a Derech Gedula. How can you give it to a guy, to a dog? Where's the Derech Gedula in giving it to a dog? So the Yam Shal Shom is Mechadesh, that when we say that you're allowed to be Machil Klavim, it's only when it's no longer Roy L'Achila. It's already rotted, it's already bad. So that's when you're allowed to be Machil Klavim or give it to a guy. But if it's still something that could be eaten by Gedula, Lamashcha, then it needs to be eaten by Gedula. Problem is, it's a great chid, that's a wonderful idea, but the Rambam doesn't say it, Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it, no one makes that chilek. They just say, if you want to give it, okay, go give it to whoever you would like. So that's it's a great difficulty in the Yam Shel Shlomo, it's a great difficulty in the Rambam. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter, fourth statement of Rav Chista, about 5 lines from the bottom of the page, Kuflam and Bezum and Bez. V'yom Rav Chista, Esim Rabba Matnos Kuna, Kol Kohen Shein Abaki Ben Einos Lomatana, the 24 Matnos Kuna, any Kohen who's not a Baki in the 24 Matnos kuhuna, you don't give him the matana. Meaning, not a baki means he doesn't know the halachos of how it's supposed to be eaten. He doesn't know that he's supposed to have it roasted with mustard with all the delicacies. So v'lav milsi, but the Gemara says that's really incorrect. You're allowed to give it to someone even who's not a baki behen. Titani, because we have a brayso that says so explicitly. The brayso writes, Rabbi Shimon Omer kol kohen she'eino moda ba'avoda ein lo chelek b'kuhuna. Rabbi Shimon says any kohen that's not moda ba'avoda doesn't get to give the matnas kuhuna. So Rashi says, what does it mean ein moda ba'avoda? That he's omer belibo divrei hevel hein. He says in his heart about the avoda, it's a bunch of garbage. Moshe bada milibo. Moshe Rabbeinu made up this whole avoda by himself. This didn't come from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means. He's ein moda ba'avoda. Someone who does it is not moda that the avoda is something that's a mitzvah from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So such a kohen, it doesn't have a chelek in kuhuna. So the obvious kasha is, all the Rishonim ask, the Ritva raises the question, what do you mean? If he's ein moda ba'avoda, if that's your definition of ein moda ba'avoda, he's a kofer b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. He's chayv misa. Of course you're not going to give him any status of kuhuna and any of the matanos and any of the avodos. He's chayv misa. He's a kofer b'tora. So the Ritva says, ein moda means, he says that, no, even that which he admits that Kodesh Baruch Hu said to do all these things, but he thinks that Kodesh Baruch Hu said it only as a reshus, not as a mitzvah. That it's not an absolute requirement, it's only a reshus to do. That's what it means, ein amod ba'avoda. The Chafetz Chaim says, you know, I would have said, had Rashi not said that ein amod ba'avoda thinks he, it means he denies everything, I would have said that we're not talking about a kofrim mamish, we're talking about a kohen who's not mekabel on himself to be osek in inyanei avoda, who's not interested in doing the avoda. He's not, there are two types of people that aren't frum. Some people are philosophically not frum, and some people are lazily not from. So a guy philosophically has a problem. He thinks HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So that's an apikores. Some people are just lazy. They know HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. They know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects them to do it. They just don't want to do it. They don't feel like it. So that's Chafetz Chaim says that's what I would have said. Einu moda ba'avoda means. But anyway, we're asking Kasha and Rav Chisla. Rav Chisla said any kohen who's not a baki in the matnas kuhuna, you're not allowed to give him the matnas kuhuna. Here we have a brayso that says no kohen that's not moda ba'avoda doesn't get a chelek b'kuhuna. How do I know that it's not only about the matanos, it's about all the avodos that you don't give to, you don't allow a kohen who's in the mode of avodos to do? Kigon, hayitzikos, ablidos, absisos, famalichos, tnufos, vagashos, vakmitzos, aktaros, famalichos, vikabolos, hazaos, vashkos, sota, varifasegla rufa, vitaras amitzorun, nisias kapayim bein mivachutz. All of these avodos, which Rashi describes each one, we remember all of them from Zvachim and Menachos. We're not going to go over them now, and also we don't have time to. So how do I know to include all of those different avodos kohen doesn't get to do? Tam lomer mi bnei Aaron. Avoda Hamura libnei Aaron. That it's the avoda that's said by bnei Aaron. That's so a kohen that's ein amod ba'avoda doesn't get to do those avodos. So says the Gemara, the kol kohen shein amod ba ein lo chelek b'kuhuna. So you see that it says that any kohen that's not moda in this avoda of bnei Aaron doesn't have a chelek in the kuhuna. Oh, so it's a kasha on what Rav Chisda said, because time adein amod ba hamod ba alfakav dein baki behen. But had he been moda, even if he's not baki ben, even if he doesn't know all the details in the halachos and how he's supposed to eat a tzli and bechardel, so still he'd be able to get the matanos. So that's why we reject that last statement of Rav Chisda. That's why the Gemara said v'lav milsi. The Gemara is not going to answer this kasha. The Gemara just rejects it. Says Rav Chisda must have been incorrect about that. Lav milsi. He was just totally incorrect. It can't be that a kohen who's just eino baki behen would not get matnos kuhuna. Amar Rav Amrav Hunamarav. Chutin shebalechi, the veins that are in the jawbone of the animal, asurim, they're usher to eat because you can't properly get the dam out of them. V'kol kohen sheniyodelit l'neinos l'matana. So if you're going to give the l'chayayim, the jawbones, to the kohen, and he doesn't know how to remove those veins that are usher to eat, so don't give him that matana, because he's not going to know how to eat it properly. He's going to violate an isra v'achilas dam. It's going to be a very bad idea. V'lohi, the Gemara says, but that's not really true. Even tivya made of divi, if he wants to roast it, so the roasting itself would draw all the blood out. It's not so hard to get the blood out of these veins, the Gemara is saying. That if you roast it, the blood will come out anyway. V'ilu kederin, even if you want to cook it in a pot, idemichtechluhu, malachluhu, made of divi. If you cut them open and you salt it, so the blood will drain out. It's not going to be a problem. Amar Rava. Badaklan Rav Yosef. Very interesting over here. The Gemara says, Rav comments, you know, Rav Yosef gave us a bechina once, and he was testing us about a certain halachic issue. So what was the issue he was testing us about? Haikan dechatef matanta. When a kohen grabs matanos, when he takes matanos kuna from somebody who wasn't trying to give it to him, chavuve kamechaviv mitzvah, ozilzule kamezalzel mitzvah. Is that a sign of the great love that he has for mitzvahs, and he's showing a great chib of mitzvahs by grabbing the matanos kuna, or is it a sign that he's mezalzel in the mitzvah? So says Gemara, ufashatin alei v'nasan v'lo sheyitol me'atzmo. And we were able to answer the question by quoting the pasuk v'nasan. Yeah, you give the matanos kuna, but v'lo sheyitol me'atzmo. The kohen is not supposed to go take it on his own. That's not a sign of a chib of mitzvah. Now the Ran says the obviously we're talking about a case where after the kohen is chotif the matanos from a kohen, he goes back to the bailim who had given them to the katan to distribute and make sure it's okay with him that he actually took the matanos. But if you just stam grab him out of somebody's hands, so you're a ganav. What do you mean chibuv kamechaviv mitzvah? That obviously would not be the case. The point is over here that even the one man's chib of mitzvah, if done improperly, is a bizayon. It's not considered meaning your chib of mitzvah ben adam l'makom might be a major pagam in your ben adam l'chavero. You're going to go grab things away. Yeah, you show that you love the matanos, that you're so interested, but ben adam l'chavero could be a terrible shortcoming. Okay, so anyway, so says the Gemara, Amar Abaye Merei Shavachatif Namatanta. Abaye says, you know, I used to think it was such a good idea to grab the matanos from people. So the Mei Shiloach writes, you can't say that Abaye was talking about all of his past averos. You're not supposed to really do that. I mean, rather, he was saying that when he heard what he had heard, so immediately he was nimshach latzeis me'aderach shehur galba v'lo ikvu shum negiyah milifrosh. Meaning, as soon as the real message over here is, yeah, that's what I used to do. But as soon as I heard that it's inappropriate, boom, I stopped right there on the spot. It's like there were certain Gedolei Yisrael that as soon as they discovered that smoking was unhealthy, they quit right there on the spot. There were plenty of others that didn't, but there were certain ones that, you know, quit right there on the spot. So Amar Abaye Mireisha v'chatif n'matanta, so he says, I used to grab the matanos. I mean, chavuvi kamachavivin a mitzvah. I thought it's a great mitzvah that I'm doing. I'm showing a chib of mitzvah. Kivin t'shamana laha v'nasa v'lo sheitol me'atzmo, michtaf lo chatifna. But once I heard this concept, that it's v'nasan, you're not supposed to take it on your own, so I wouldn't grab anymore. Meimar amri havuli, but you know what I would do? I would ask people. Someone was shechting an animal, I'd say, can you give me the matanos? V'kivin t'shman Allah d'tanya v'yatu achrei abatza, Rameira omer b'nei Shmuel chelkom shalu b'piem. Once I heard that when the Navi criticizes the sons of Shmuel, who did not get to take over for Shmuel because of their misdeeds, and the Navi says that they took bribes, and the Rameira explains, it doesn't mean they literally took bribes, because if they literally took bribes, how could Shmuel turn the other way and allow them to continue? So rather it must mean that they were looking for their own, they would ask for their chelek, they would ask for the matanos, bipem male, so they would pressure people into giving it to them. So once I heard that was the problem of the Bnei Shmuel, meimar nami lo amina, so Abaye says, then I stopped asking for it also, but v'yavuli shakilna, but if someone was kind enough to give it to me, well, I'm not such a tzaddik that I won't take, I'll take it, you know, that much chib of mitzvah I have. Given to Shemana Lahad Tanya, once I heard the Brisa, Hatsnu, Moshkne Sidem, Vagargarnim, Cholkim, Mishkal Nami Lo Shakilna, Labarmi Mali Yom de Kvur Lakzukin of Shoy Bekani. Once I heard that Snuim, that the more sensitive people would not take the matanos, and only the gluttonous people would always be interested in taking the matanos, so then I decided even when it was offered to me, I would say, no, thank you, you can find another Kohen and not take the matanos. Except for Erev Yom Kippur. Once a year I would do it, because on Erev Yom Kippur I wanted to be machzik myself as a Kohen. I don't want people to forget that I'm actually a Kohen, so that's why I would do that on Erev Yom Kippur. The the what's special about Erev Yom Kippur. So Tosfos writes that Erev Yom Kippur was a Yom Tov, and since it was a Yom Tov and there's a lot of eating, there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, so there are a lot of matanos, a lot of animals being slaughtered on Erev Yom Kippur, so a lot of Kohanim gathered together all around. So if you're the one Kohen that doesn't take on Erev Yom Kippur, people are going to start questioning whether you're really a Kohen. There's so many matanos, there's so many animals being slaughtered, all the Kohanim, there's enough for every Kohen to get. So that's why Dafka on Erev Yom Kippur, he would do it to establish himself as a Kohen. Fret the Gemara, you want to establish yourself as a Kohen? I have a better idea. Instead of taking the matanos, why don't you just go duchen, do nesias kapayim? What do you have to go to take the matanos? So ansi le idne, he couldn't do it. What does it mean he couldn't do it? So Rashi says ansi le idne means he was osek in Talmud Torah with his Talmidim, and since he was so busy learning Torah, he didn't have time to make it to shul. Unbelievable. He didn't make it to Minyan because he was so busy with Talmud Torah. So he didn't make it to do Nesias Kapayim with a Minyan. So the Madani Yom Tov raises the question, what do you mean? It's an Afna Psak in the Rambam that we all know in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Paragimel Lacha Dalid, that whenever you have a mitzvah of Veres, whenever there's a mitzvah that's here now, it's not going to be here later, you have to be Mevatel Mitalmudo in order to be Mekayim that mitzvah. You have to stop your learning in order to be Mekayim. Well, I'm not going to take Lulav because I'm too busy with Talmud Torah. How could you say such a thing? You stop the Talmud Torah, that it's a Lulmul Amunas Lasos. If there's not going to be any Lasos, so where's the Lulmul Amunas Lasos? No, you have to stop in order to do mitzvos. So the Madani Yom Tov explains that maybe that din, that you stop Talmud Torah in order to do a mitzvah veris, is only when you're Lomid La'atzmo, when you learn for yourself. But when you're being melamed la'acherim, when you're teaching Torah publicly, maybe even if there's a mitzvah veris, you don't stop the Talmud Torah, you would continue on with the Talmud Torah. The other point over here that that's raised is the riff and the rush. Actually, before that, the Torah writes that Kohanim are not chayiv lisas kapeim im lo karu lahem. That the chiv of it, maybe there's a different approach you could take over here. Torah writes that a Kohen has no chiv to do nesias kapeim unless they call him up, unless he's in the room and they call Kohanim. So then he has to go and be nosei kapo. But if he's out of the room, so then there's no chiv, there's no mitzvah. Let's say a Kohen, for whatever reason, can't do nesias kapeim. Minig is that an avel in the first year doesn't do nesias kapeim. So what does he do? He doesn't stay in the room. If he's in the room and they call Kohanim, he has to go up. So he just leaves the room. And then he has no chiyuv. So then he won, or a Kohen who's unable to move his hands properly, very often will leave the room so that when they call Kohanim, he won't have a chiyuv. So maybe the chiyuv doesn't start. So it's not really such a kasha that he wasn't osei es kapav. However, Rabbeinu Manoach writes, if he's the only Kohen, then even if they don't call him up, he has a chiyuv to be nosei es kapav. So that's the issue. According to Rabbeinu Manoach, how could Abaye be mevatel the mitzvah of nosei es kapayim the whole year round? Maybe there are times he would have been the only Kohen. So you have to say that maybe the Rabbeinu Manoach holds, not like Rashi, that he just decided to stick with Talmud Torah rather than to be nosei es kapav. Maybe there's a different reason why he wasn't nosei es kapav, namely, with the Rif and the Rush write, that he was a chol me'ayim. He had stomach problems, and he couldn't make it through all the Birch's Kohanim, all the ayayays. He wasn't going to make it all the way through without having stomach issues. So that's why he wasn't Nosei as Kapav. Okay, Amar of Yosef. If a Kohen knows of a Talmud Chacham in his neighborhood who's very poor, so he could be Mizakeh's Matnos Kuna to that Talmud Chacham. The Matnos Kuna that he's going to receive, even before he receives them, he can be Mizakeh them to the Talmud Chacham. The Avgav Dost Liyad, even though he hasn't received them yet, but as long as he knows he's going to receive them. Let's say I know that my neighbor, every day he brings me his matnos, he shechts an animal once a week, and every week he brings me his matnos kuna, it's makire kuna. So before I even get it, I could be mizake to a poor Talmud Chacham. Rav Safra klube Mar Yuchna b'redi Rav Chana Barada. So Rav Safra went to Mar Yuchna, the son of Rav Chana Barada, v'amilo lebe Mar Yuchna b'redi Rav Chana Barbizna, avalu egla tilsen. He made for him a delicious cat. So he said. So Rava said to the Shamish, who was a Kohen, can you be mizaka me the tongue? Because I always wanted to taste tongue with mustard. So be mizaka to me that part of the matnas kuna, the jaws. So zachile. So he was mizaka to him. Rava achel and Rava ate from it. Rav Safra lo achel, but Rav Safra didn't eat from it. Akaryula Rav Safra bechamus. Rav Safra saw the following pasuk in a dream. The pasuk that says, "Ma de beged biyom kara," like wearing a worn out garment garment on a cold day, chometz al neser, like vinegar on neser, v'shar b'shirim al lev ra, singing songs on a bad heart. So he saw that he was being criticized in his dream. So also came to Rav Yosef. He went to Rav Yosef. He says, maybe I was read this bad pasuk because I violated what you said. You said that a guy is allowed to be mezakeh the matnos kuna even before they come to his end, and I refused to eat from it. Maybe because maybe that's why I got this terrible message in a dream. So I'm like, kiyami ani ba'acher, shama bal karchi mezakeh. Rav Yosef says, no, I think you did the right thing. I said that in a different situation. In other situations, that the kohen could be mezakeh to other people. But over here was a shamish. The shamish felt pressure to do it. Not if he feels pressure. I'm saying that he's able to do it if he does it on his own. But never that he should feel pressure to do it. And also, only for a talmud chacham who otherwise wasn't going to have what to eat. Over here, it was we're not dealing with that. You had what to eat. So my time akar yinachi says, oh yes, then how do you explain my dream? So I would have said, because you probably weren't so sure of yourself, and that's why you had a dream, because you were questioning yourself. No, but he understood that this was a real, that this dream had meaning, that it wasn't just the subconscious. So klape rava, he says, no, the dream is klape rava, because rava did the wrong thing by eating it. So he says, oh yeah, it was klape rava, but lekari l'rava. Why didn't rava have the dream? What do I have the dream about rava for? So rava nazav hava, because rava was in the cherem in hashemayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to communicate with him. Why? So Rashi writes that he thinks it's because of this maisa that rava did the wrong thing over here, so Rosh Baruch Hu didn't want to talk to him. But Rashi quotes from his Rebbeim that was because of some other Maisa, the Gemara in Tainus, that Rava, in order to make Ifra Hormuz, Eimad the Shvar Malka, look good, Rava davened for rain unnecessarily and caused the Rosh Baruch Hu, pushed heaven a little bit to cause it to rain, and that was considered to be a chutzpah. Amle Abay the Rav Dimi, Pashi the Krab Maiksev. But yeah, what's Pashupshat in the Pasuk? Pasuk is talking about something, so it's clearly not Pashupshat that it would be talking about being Mezaket to a Kohen or whatever. Samalei b'shono the Talmud she'eno hagun. Pashup shad is about teaching a Talmud she'eno hagun, a Talmud who's not an appropriate Talmud to teach Torah to. Damar Rav Yudah Marav, kol shono the Talmud she'eno hagun, nofel b'gehenim. Anyone who teaches a Talmud she'eno hagun is nofel b'gehenim. Shnamar kol choshech Talmud l'tzvunav tachleu eish l'nofach yerosh sarid ba'alo. Vein sarid el Talmud chacham. And sarid means a Talmud chacham, shnamar k'sridim asher Hashem korei. Amar b'zeir Amarav, kol shono the Talmud she'eno hagun, k'zorik evel l'markulis. When you teach a Talmud she'eno hagun, it's like throwing a rock at the Markulus Avodah Zarah. Markulus is a unique Avodah Zarah, that the way that they're ovid it is by throwing a rock. So the point is that you think you're doing something good because you're stoning an Avodah Zarah, but you don't realize that you're doing something terrible because it's actually the derech of the Avodah Zarah. So too, you're teaching Torah to the Talmud Sheinu Hagun, you think, I'm teaching Torah, what a great zuchus. You don't realize you're doing something terrible. You're arming this Talmud Sheinu Hagun with knowledge that he's going to use l'ra, that he's going to use for bed. Shenemar, Kitzor Avin Bimirgum Kein Nosin L'ksil Kavod, L'ksil V'lonav L'ksil Tanuk. So the Rambam actually passes this halacha in the Chasam Torah Perek Dalet, halacha Aleph, Ein Melam the Torah El Talmud Hagun Na'a B'maisav. You need to discover what the midos of your Talmidim are. Make sure that the person has a good midos and good maisim, that he does mitzvos before you teach him Torah. But if he's holich b'derech lo tova, first you need to work on that, and then you can start teaching him Torah. The Rambam writes, very interesting concept, that you don't just start with the Torah, you have to make sure that he has certain basic character qualities before you teach him Torah. So Rashi over here says, what does it mean Talmud Sheinu Hagun? What's the definition of the term? What's the title of the words? So Rashi says, Ein b'dayto l'kayim es haTorah shu lomed. A guy who wants to learn just to know what's out there, but he's not actually interested in doing what he learns and putting it into practice. The Marsha says, no, it's a Talmud who's learning Shalol Lishma. The Gemara says in Pesachim Daf Nun Beis that the only Yaskel Dam Torah Mitzvah Zafli Shalol Lishma should be taught Shalol Lishma Balishma, that you should learn even Shalol Lishma because ultimately it will be Balishma. So Tosfos already asked the Kasha in several places in Shas, in Tainus, in Pesachim. Tosfos already asked the Kasha, what do you mean? There's another Gemara that tells us that if a person learns Shalol Lishma, it becomes like a Sama Maves, it becomes like a poison to him. So how can you say it's good to learn Shalol Lishma? So Tosfos is Mechalik that there are two types of Lol Lishma. There's Lol Lishma where I want to learn Torah because I want everyone to give me kavod, I want everyone to call me rabbi, I want people to stand up when I walk in the room. You know, that kind of shalol lishma. That's the kind of shalol lishma that it's worthwhile learning Torah, even though you're doing it Shalol Lishma, because ultimately, hopefully, you'll start learning Lishma. But then there's Shalol Lishma Lekanter. I want to use my Torah destructively. I want to use it to be able to spread up Epikursus and the like. So such a Shalol Lishma is never recommended, is a terrible Shalol Lishma. So that's the Talmud She'eino Hagun that we're talking about. The Ben Yoyada writes very interesting. He says it doesn't say that if you teach Talmud She'eino Hagun, you're ne'enash begehenim. It says you're nofel legehenim. So what's pshat? So he says there's no onesh. You're not going to punish in Gehenim. Nofel legehenim means that Achamei v'esrim, they're going to take you to Gehenim for a tour, and they're going to get to show you the fruits of your labor. Like, you see that Talmud and that Talmud and that Talmud. Look what you created over here. Look what you've managed to create. Look at the depths of Gehenim. People who know something and are Rishayim have earned for themselves. Okay, so that's where I invite you. If you have a shutvus with a guy, an animal, so you need to make a mark on the animal in order to make it recognizable why you're not giving the matnas kuna, because a guy has a shutfus in it. So frankly, really, even when you have a shutfus with a guy, it requires a mark. We have a stira. We said if you're mishtati with a kohen, then you do need to make a mark on the animal. If you're mishtati with a guy, then you don't need to make a mark on the animal. So it says the yasuv of chavim amasachta. Over here we're talking about where a guy is standing in the store with you. So since he's standing in the store with you, you don't need to make that mark because everyone realizes that he's a partner. So says Gemara, well then the Kavasan Gabi Kohen, the Yasuv HaMasachta, my Tzorich Lirshom. Then why when you're Meshati for the Kohen, do you need to make the mark on the animal? If we're talking about a situation where the guy's standing in the store, won't people realize that he has a Shutfus with you? So says Gemara, Da Amri Britsa Kazavit. No, people will think he's just there as a customer, he's buying the meat. Well then why won't people say the same thing about the guy? That he's just there, he's a customer, he's buying the meat. They're not going to realize he has a shutfus, so you should require a mark on the meat. No, he's not just in the store, he's at the cash register. So people realize he's not buying, people realize he's selling. So says the coin, the Yasuf Kasafta might sort of clear some. Yeah, well then the coin case also. If he's sitting by the cash register, why do you need to mark the meat? Shouldn't people realize that the coin is a shutfus? And that's why you're not giving the matanos? Sa amri hamuna himne. People will assume that no, he's not selling the meat, you're just trusting him to man the cash register. So says the Gemara, Ovid Chav Nami im Ramune Himne. If the guy is manning the cash register, won't people assume he's also just an employee, and you're trusting him to man the cash register, and that he's not actually a shutef in the business? So the Gemara has two answers. Number one, Ein Amuna Ovid Chavim. No one hires an Ovid Chavim to man the cash register, because no one believes him. No one would trust him with it. And number two, Ibai Seim Astam Ovid Chavim Mifapai. When an Ovid Chavim is a partner, he's not a silent partner. He'll always be yelling, nah, you should sell it for more, you should have bargained better. He'll express a daya. But when a Kohanim are much more tsunua, when a Kohen is a partner, he'll be a silent partner. It's not going to be so recognizable to other people that he's taka a partner. That's why you need to mark the meat to make it recognizable that there's a Kohen who has a shutfus in it, and that's why you're not giving the matanos. Amar mar, psulei mekdashim ain't tzarich lirshom. So we just said that psulei mekdashim do not need to be marked. Alma Mukhamilsa, so it seems that the way Psulei Mekdashim are handled will make it clear enough that they're Psulei Mekdashim. Iva Nantam Psulei Mekdashim Karim Be'itlus Neshkatim Be'itlus Neshkalim Belitra. But didn't we learn in the Mishnah that Psulei Mekdashim are handled the same way that regular meat is handled, sold the same way regular meat is sold? So Tikum Rav Adam Rav Kamei Rav Papa Bosanim Karim Tocha Bayis. No, we're talking about Psulei Mekdashim that's sold in the house. So Amar Rav Huna Shutav Perosh Patamin Alechi. New statement. If a person is if a guy or a kohen has a shutfus in the head of the animal only, so then you don't have to give the lechayayim. You don't have to give that part of the matnas kuna. Shutav biyad patur min hazroa. If he's a shutav in the four legs of the animal, you don't have to give zroa. Shutav bibnei me'ayin patur min hakeva. If he's a shutav in the stomachs of the animal, you don't have to give the keva. V'chia barav amar afilu shutav ba'achmein patur min kulan. V'chia barav says, no, even if he has a shutfus only in one part of the animal, you don't have to give any of the matnas kuna. So meisvei, frek the gemara, wait a second, harosh shaliv kula shalach. If the guy says, I want the head, you get the rest of the animal. Vafilu echad mimeya barosh pater, even if the coin just says, I only want 1/100th of the head, then he's pater from the matana. Hayad shaliv kula shalach. Afilu echad mimeya biyad pater. If he takes a shutfus in even 1/100th of the yad, he's pater. B'nei me'ayin shaliv kula shalach afilu echad mimeya ben pater. Even in 1/100th, he's pater. My lav pater melechi v'chayiv b'kulan. Doesn't that mean, when we say pater, that he's pater from that matana, but you're chayiv in the other matanos, which is against The Shita of Chiya Barav, who thinks that even if he's a Shuta and only one little part of the animal, he's Pater from everything. So says Mara, Pater and Pater Rav, Chai Vukulan, Pater Merkev, Chai Vukulan. Isn't that what it means? So says the Gemara, Lo, Pater Mikulan. No, it means that he's Pater Mikulan, that even if he owns 1/100th of any single part of the animal, you don't have to give any other matanos. V'listni Pater Mikulan. Well, then why doesn't it say that? It should just say Pater Mikulan. V'ot Tanya, furthermore, we have a braisa, Harosh Ali V'kula Shalach Afilu Echon Me'a Barosh, Pater Min Alechi, V'chayiv Bikulan. It says Beferish in the braisa that if he's a Shutaf in one in part of the head, he's Pater from the matana that's in the head. But he's not Pater from the other matanos. He's Chayiv in those. So Tiv to Dechiyah Barav Tiyifta. Okay, checkmate on Chiyah Barav. There's nothing, no answer to that. Beferish or Braisa against him. Amar Rav Chista, Hamas Nisa Atiyisei L'Chiyah Barav. Granted, Rav Chiyah Barav made a mistake. Why did he make this mistake? Let's discover where he went wrong. So Gemara says that the following Braisa is what misled him. Titanya, we have a Braisa that says as follows. Esim Rabba Matanus Kuhunahin V'kul Nitnu L'Arnu L'Banav B'chal Prat U'Bris Melech. There are 24 Matanus Kuhunah, and all of them, the Torah is Mizakat Ha'arun U'Banav, based on a limit of Klal Prat and over a Bris Melech, a covenant of Sof. Klal Makayman Kilukiyim Klal Prat U'Bris Melech Klal Over Alin Kilu Over Al Klal Prat U'Bris Melech. And therefore, if you observe these mitzvot, it's as if you're observing every Klal Prat in the Torah and every Bris Melech. And if you violate them, it's as if you're violating it all. Ve'elu Hain, and these are the 24 Matnas Kuna. Eser B'Migdash Ve'Arba B'Yushlaim Ve'Eser B'Gvun. 10 of them are only in the Migdash, 4 in Yushlaim, and 10 throughout the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Eser B'Migdash, the 10 of the Migdash are as follows: Chatos V'Chatos Ov Asham Badi V'Asham Tali V'Ziv Chishal Mitzvah. That's the 10 in the Mikdash. Va'arba b'Yerushalayim ha'bechorah v'abikurim umorim min atoda u'me'el nazir va'oros kachim. Those are the 4 that are only in Yerushalayim. Ve'eser b'gvulim, and there are 10 that are in gvulim that the Kohanim get. Shrumu shumus ma'aser v'chalav resh sages umatanos. As one, it listed as one. Upidin Aben, Upidin Petach Amar, Usteachuzav, Steacharam, Vegezel Ager. Fine, that's the Brisa. It lists all the 24 Matnas Kuna. So who Savar? So where did Chiyah Barav go wrong? He read that Brisa and he thought Midakachash of Luhul Matanos Bechada Chadaninu. From the fact that Matanos gets listed as one item on the list, that it's a package deal. That if you're if there's a Shutfus of a Kohen in any one of the Matanos, let's say only the jaws, then you don't have to give the Zroah or the Keva either, but Velohi. Atu mura mitoda ve'el nazir dekachash v'lu kechada mishum dechadeninu. What do you mean? When we say mura mitoda, that which is taken from a carbon toda, or from an el nazir. Why? You think that's also only one thing? No. Elkivet de damyon adad dechash v'lu kechada. Since they're similar to each other, it only counts as one item on the list. Hachanami kivet de damyon adad dechash v'lu kechada. What if he says the head is yours, the rest of it is mine? Then what's the din? Do we assume that we go basur the chiyuv and the chiyuv of the lechayim is in the Yisrael's 100% possession because he owns the entire head, or do we say no? We go with the ikar behem and the ikar behem is still owned by the kohen. So Tashma, I bring a raya. Ovid chavim the kohen shemasr tzonim the Yisrael the gzos, and ovid chavim and a kohen that give their tzon to Yisrael to shear Pater halokeach Pater. So you Pater halokeach geiz tzono. So you Pater from Reish Sageiz halokeach geiz tzono shalovid kochavim. If you buy the shearings of an ovid chavim, Pater from Reish Sageiz. You Pater from Reish Sageiz vizeh chomer bezro belechayim ubekeva. Yosem Reish Sageiz. And this is one area where Israel, Lechayayim, Bekeva are more chamur than the first shearings. So Shema Minah, Basur Chiyuv, Azlinu Shema Minah. So we see that when it comes to the Matanos, we go Basur the Chiyuv. We don't go Basur the Iker Behema, we go Basur who has the actual Chiyuv. Okay, we'll have to stop there, and Mr. Shalom will pick up from the 2 dots on the bottom tomorrow.